Are you excited for church today? Amen. I come into this place expecting something great today. Amen. Already feeling the spirit that God is getting ready to move. God is getting ready to do something in our lives. Amen. I believe that there is a change in the season that is coming. Amen. Are you ready for a change today? Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Exodus this morning, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Amen. It is good to be back at Grace Point. I have missed being here on Sundays. Amen. Miss all the smiling faces. Miss all the faces that aren't smiling. I love every one of you. Amen. Exodus chapter 3 says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Amen. Very familiar passage of scripture. We've heard it a lot. It's been preached on a lot, taught on a lot. I just want to talk a little bit on knowing God. Knowing God this morning. Amen. You may be seated. When you look at the scripture reference here in our text, you will study and you will see that God's people were here in bondage at this time. They had come to the land of Egypt as a way of being saved, from the famine of the land. God had blessed them by bringing them there. And not only bringing them into Egypt, but giving them the best part of the land. They had the best place to raise their cattle, to raise their children. It was a beautiful place for them to be at this time. But through situations and through the plan of God, they had now found themselves in slavery. They were no longer a free people to roam around, no longer a free people living off the land to raise their children and to let their cattle groom, but they were now slaves. They were building to the city for the Pharaoh. That was their purpose now of life. That is what they did day in, day out, night and day. They were slaves. They were not free. For 400 years over that time period, they cried out for a Savior. Amen. You got to imagine. Just think about ourselves just being 1 week going through a trial and we're crying out for something. Imagine going through 400 years of family generations being in slavery and they're crying out for a Savior. Amen. It's just a normal thing. You wake up in the morning and you pray, God, send some help. God, send someone to save me. Send something to help me in this time. Throughout the day, as you eat, you pray again, God, send someone to help us. God, where are you? We need you, Jesus. You know, we got to have an answer. They go to home at night. They eat their dinner. They go to bed at night with the same prayer on their lips. God, we need a Savior. God, we need a help in this time. Where are you? We need something in our lives. And so God finally answered their cries by sending Moses, this child that was raised right under their noses in their prayers. He probably grew up and heard these prayers of them. He probably even at some point even prayed with them, hey, help these people. I understand I'm a Hebrew. I'm not an Egyptian. So help my people, God. Where are you? You need to help them. Not knowing that he himself was the answer. And so here they are now, they're crying for this answer, and Moses was now the man of the hour. And Moses, when you read the scriptures, he wasn't very clear on his mission. He had questions, he had doubts. And so he even asked God, God, what am I supposed to do here? Because what should I say when they ask me who you are? Because I'm just a man, and they've been crying out for help, and you got Pharaoh and all of his army. They're great in stature. They're great in power. And who am I? And if I show up there and just saying, hey, you need to let the people go, and I'm here and I'm sent from God, I got to have something to show them, something to tell them, to let them know that I'm the real thing, that you really did send me. And so God, in his wisdom and all his might, didn't give this long, extravagant thing. He just simply told Moses, tell them I am. Tell them I am. And what's great about this statement is that this is an endless possibilities of a statement. Because when you look at the situation that they're going through, or maybe the situation that we may be going through in our life, that simple statement of I am is very important. Because no matter what they're going through, no matter what they're looking at, when they ask, who is God? What can he do for me? Is he my healer? Is he my deliverer? It simply is, I am. That is his answer to them. And so in our life, we can look at that also, because we can come to church and we can look for a need, and we all have needs this morning in some way or another. But we come to this house, and we may know him as Jesus. We may call him our healer. We may call him a deliverer. But simply put, we can come into this place, and he is whatever we need him to be. Amen. He is the I am God for us. He is whatever we need him to be in this day, in this time, and in this hour. Amen. So through the Old Testament, God has given many titles, but he is never known by his name, because his name has not yet been given. Genesis, he is known as the God who provides. The example is Abraham sacrificing his son. God told him to go to the mount, and I want you to sacrifice your one and only son. Abraham, he obeyed, he listened, he went to that mount. He went to sacrifice his son, and right before he could do it, God told him, says, hold, don't do it. And he provided a ram. Amen. He was the God who provides. In Exodus, he's known as the God who heals. Amen. How many knows that? Has he been a God who heals to you? Leviticus, he is known as the holy God. He is pure, he is spotless, perfect, and free from sin. In Deuteronomy, he is known as the God of the beginning. The God of the beginning. The one who is before all things and made of all things. In the Psalms, he is known as the God of kindness, the God of my strength, the God of my salvation, the God of praise in the Lord our Maker. In Isaiah, he is known as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As I go through these names, you can think about yourself, all these things at some point, he's probably been to us. I know in my life, he's been a lot of these things already to me. I've come to this place knowing that God is more than just one thing, but he is everything to me. He's been my healer. He's been my provider. He's been my deliverer at times. He's been everything that I need him to be. In Jeremiah, he is known as the God of all flesh. He created not just the heavens and the earth, but all life on earth. God of the Old Testament had many such titles when you look at it. From Genesis to Revelation, there's so many things that God is known by. And these are his nature, his character of what he's known by. Amen. So when you study God, you can learn a lot by just learning about those things, his nature and his character, about who God is. Amen. He's not just a lifeless statue. He's not just one thing to someone else and one thing to this person, but he is everything at all times. Amen. Each one revealing his nature and his character. Amen. But as great and amazing as all these things are, they still are not the name of God. He still has not revealed his name. But if you move to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in Zechariah 14 and 9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Amen. Through the Old Testament, God was revealing his nature and his character little by little. But one day, the Lord, the King of Kings, God Almighty, he finally said, it's time to reveal who I am. It's time for the world to understand who I am by my name. So we fast forward to the New Testament, and we see God being revealed as the child. An angel told Joseph in a dream not to worry because Mary was with child. I have to stop and say that that is very hard, because any man that is fixing to get married, if someone shows up and tells you, hey, this girl that you're fixing to marry, she's pregnant, it's going to cause you to stop a little bit, to think a little bit, just what's going on? What did I miss? This I don't understand. And so it took an angel coming down and telling him, hey, don't worry about it. It's God. This is of God. I mean, that'd be a little bit more comforting. I'd be a little bit more easy-minded, you know, if God shows up and says, hey, this is my plan. Don't worry about it. I got you in my hands. Okay, I'll trust you, God. You got it. You are the man. So this was something that was special. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, through 23 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." Remember our scripture in Isaiah, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. So here we have the Old Testament meeting the New Testament. The prophecy of the old now becoming new in the New Testament. Amen. God was making it known that this is the same thing that I was talking about. Amen. And when Jesus was about 30 years of age, that scripture came into full existence. He was now God with us. He was now on the scene walking and talking, performing miracles. His ministry was on this earth. He was God with us. Amen. On this earth. How awesome it would have been just to be able to stand there with Jesus. To be able to touch him, to be able to feel him, to look into his eyes. To be there when he wept, to see tears running down his face. Just to know that this is God. And just to experience that. And you think about the disciples, how hard it was for some of them to live for God as it was, being there with God with them. Amen. But the same God that was in the Old Testament was still the same God of the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 56 says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him," talking to Jesus, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," here it is, "I am." He says, you got to understand that the same God that you read about, the same God that your parents taught you about, that your grandparents taught you about, the great I am back then, that is who I am right now standing before you. I am the I am God. I am the same today as I was yesterday. The same things that I could do back then, I can do for you now. And he was trying to get through their heads that I am the same God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get excited, somebody. Do you know who Jesus is? Mark chapter 5, verse 25 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." You ever feel like that in your life? You're trying, just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. "When she had heard of Jesus, came in a press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." So this woman had tried everything in her life, but she heard about Jesus. She went bankrupt. She had no more money. She had no more hope. She was unclean according to the law. All she had was the hope that Jesus would come around. And so now this man, Jesus, God with us, was now on the scene, and she realized, I have to do something to get to him. She had the revelation of who he was, that he wasn't just a man, but that he was God with us. She knew that all power was in his hands, all authority was in his hands, and she had to get to Jesus. So something stirred within her, and she knew that he was more than just a man and that he had the answers. And so you got to look at her situation. She went behind a press. She says, I got to get to him. He's over there, but I'm over here, and there's a crowd, so what am I going to do? I got to do something different to get to him. I got to do something that's more than what I'm doing now. Hey, man, I'm tired of sitting here on the side of the road. I'm tired of just letting life go and just be the way it is, the same thing after time and time again. But I know God can do something in my life if I can just make it to him. Hey, man, I just wonder if we would get that attitude sometimes in church. You know, we come into this house and we got problems, we got issues, we all do, I do today. But our attitude sometimes is, I'm just going to stay in my seat, I'm just going to go through the motions, I'm going to clap my hands, sing our three songs, listen to Pastor preach, and I'm going to leave here the same way I came. What did you accomplish by coming? All you did was take up space and take up air. But if we come into this place with the attitude that we know that there's a God that is alive and well and that he is the I am, that I can get what I need today, we can leave here changed. Amen, but we got to get that attitude in our mind that we want to touch the hem of his garment. Amen, and I don't even want to be satisfied with that. I want to come into this place, and I want to wrap my arms around His presence. I want to feel Him as much as I can. I want to get in His face. I want to look into His eyes. I want to tell Jesus, God, I'm right here, and I want all of you I can get. Not just a little touch. I want a full touch. Amen. I want the real deal. Amen. So this woman, she knew she had to get the real thing. We got to be like this woman sometimes. We got to get desperate when we come into this house. We got to come into this place and say, God, I'm not leaving until I can touch you. I'm not leaving until I can get what I need from your word, from your presence. Amen. Do you have a desperation today? Amen. I feel it today. First day of fasting, I know there's a desperation in this house. I notice some people coming to this place and they're ready for some change. Amen. There's already people ready for coffee. There's already people ready for some bread, for some sugar. I know I am. First thing on my way to church, I'm thinking, man, I want to stop at Circle K, get me a big soda. I'm craving it already. I'm ready for a change. Amen. But this woman, she reached and she touched the hem of His garment. And I like what the scripture says. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from that plague. Just from one simple touch. One touch. Amen. If we can just get that in our mindset, just one touch from God today. Just one touch from God today, and my problems can be made whole. I can be healed from anything that may be plaguing my body. Anything that's happening on my job and in my home, God can fix it today before I leave this place. If I can just get but one touch from Jesus today. Amen. He is the God who heals. There's no other name under heaven, no other name that is more powerful or holy or exalted than the name of Jesus. The name which every knee shall bow, the heavens, the earth, under the heavens, every principality, every power, the name of Jesus. Another passage of scripture here, Mark chapter 4, verse 37 through 41. This is talking about the nature and character of Jesus, the man, the God. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus. He was back there sleeping. Everybody else is up there rowing. He was asleep on a pillow, and he arose. Well, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Come on, examine your lives. How long has it been since you've made a statement like that? A day? A week? Maybe it's been 30 minutes. God, don't you care what's going on in my life? You care that I perish? What's going on, God? Are you still back there sleeping while I'm down here rowing and toiling? So he arose and rebuked the wind and unto the sea, and he said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith and that you feared exceedingly? And said one to another, they said, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, they even though they were the disciples, they still didn't quite have the revelation of who he really was. God was with them. He was walking with them. He was Emmanuel to them, but yet they still did not understand who Jesus really was. They didn't understand that he was the I am, that he can calm that storm. That he could save them from their present time of trouble. And they were fearful and they were just like, what are you going to do? And so God had to remind them of who he was. Amen. So this morning we have to understand that who Jesus is. He's not just a man that walked this earth, but he is Emmanuel, God with us. That all power is in his hands. And it doesn't matter how big the winds and the waves are in your storm are this morning, that he can still calm those waves. Amen. The same power and authority that he had back then, he still has today. Amen. He can still walk to the bow of our ship this morning and speak peace to our storm. Amen. But we have to allow him to do that. We have to give him room to work. Hallelujah. See, at the mention of his name, demons, they have to flee. Angels, they have to obey. At the mention of his name, all hell, it will tremble at the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is why it's so important to understand the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name. In no other name. See, a lot of people, they live life and they will say the name of Jesus in other religious denominations and they come to church, but they truly do not understand the power of that name. They don't understand what really happens when you say that name. They can read the scripture, but they don't have the revelation. They don't have the revelation of the baptism in the name of Jesus and the power that happens when you go down in the water of that name. Amen. But we know that name today. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. His purpose was to save us. Amen. Jesus said in John, he came not to condemn us, but to save us. To save us. His purpose is not to destroy you. I know your life may be hard. I know you might be going through a trial, and God may be putting you through a trial to teach you, to help you learn, to make you better, to bring you to his purpose. But the purpose of that is not to destroy you. Amen. It's to better you. It's to make you better. Amen. To make you greater in his kingdom. To make you fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. Amen. If God's purpose was simply to destroy you, he'd just kill you. Just get it over with. Why would he waste his time? But it's not his purpose. He wants to make you better, to save us. David wrote in Psalms, we are born in sin and shapen in wickedness. We were on our way to a sinner's hell, and like the children of Israel, we were in need of a Savior. Amen. Did you come into this place this morning in need of something? Whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, whether it be you just need a Savior this morning, amen, he's here in this place. God is here today for the single purpose to save us, to deliver us, to heal us, amen, to bring us up, to make us new, amen. And just like the children of Israel, we may have cried out to God. We may have been crying out this whole week or maybe even this morning that we need something from him. And I can tell you firmly that God has heard your cry. He has heard your cry this morning. He's wrapped himself in flesh and he came to this earth for the purpose of this dirty world to save us. Amen. He died on the cross for the purpose to get rid of our sins and to make sure that you had a chance of life beyond death. Amen. Hallelujah. Ultimately, he gave his life for us. The name of Jesus. Salvation in no other name. The name of Jesus. This is where I'm getting down to the nuts and bolts of my lesson here this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39. Talking about the name of Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Salvation in no other name. Amen. Had to be in the name of Jesus. I always say when I read the scripture that if the question is still the same, the answer is still the same. If you come into this place and your question is still, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm saved, to make sure that I'm right with you? The answer is still the same. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. Amen. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized under the name of Jesus in water. Amen. And you got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. There is salvation in no other name. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. The Bible says he is the breath of life. He is our morning song. He is the Prince of Peace. He is forever faithful. He is the arms that carry us. He is the promise of our peace. He is our strength and our shield. He is our foundation. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the great I am. His name is Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about this morning. That we know who He is. That we know truly who Jesus is this morning. That He's not just a man. He's not just a person that walked this earth. But He is Emmanuel, God with us. That He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that He has the same power to heal you as He did back then. The same power to deliver you as He did back then. He is still God who sits on the throne this morning in our life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to close and get down to the meat of the message here. It says, in the beginning, God is what you would call the omnipresent God. He was everywhere. He was all things, in all things. See, he was God. Just no matter where you went, what you did, He was God. Amen. His power, His authority, it was everywhere. He would appear to men at times as the angel of the Lord when you read Scripture. He would just manifest as an angel or a light and just speak out of that light or maybe the burning bush to Moses. But He was never a man of flesh and bone that walked among us like Jesus. Amen. But He then became in the New Testament Emmanuel, God with us. The omnipresent God of the Old Testament that was everywhere, all things. He was now God with us, wrapped in flesh, walking among the people. Amen. God saw that our sins were great, and He knew that there had to be a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins. And so instead of using a natural lamb, God decided to use Jesus, flesh and bone, as that sacrificial lamb for our sins. Amen. So the Bible says Jesus became that spotless lamb. And this is where it gets exciting to get Pentecostal right here. See, God Almighty, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the omnipresent God of all things, that was in all things and around all things, He became the living flesh of bone and walking among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We could touch Him. We could see Him. We could speak to Him face to face. But after dying on the cross, after being buried in the ground and being resurrected, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I will come back. I will send my Spirit back to you. And this is where it gets good right here. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, when they were up there and they were tearing for the Spirit, 120, God finally came down in a rushing mighty wind. And He poured His Spirit down. And the Holy Ghost poured out among them with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. God the Creator, He became God with us on earth. But now He is became God in us. God in us. So no longer do we have to just speak to God by His nature or by His character. We don't have to speak to some flesh and bone person being beside us or walking among us. But now today we have God in us. Amen. He's filled us with His Spirit. Hallelujah. We got His power and authority inside of us. And God says, I am in you. Hallelujah. I'm excited that I know who Jesus is. I'm excited that I know who God is. Amen. That He's not just God with us, but He is God inside of us. Amen. He is wanting to do something in our lives. He's wanting to do something in your life today. But we have to allow Him to be God inside of us. Amen. We have to allow God to do a work inside of us. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning in this place, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't leave this place until you get some God inside of you. Don't leave this place until you get down on your knees and you say, Jesus, I need your Spirit to come within me. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost and let your Spirit touch me. That's what it's all about. Amen. He came to save us. He came to redeem us. Hallelujah. And so today He can be God inside of you in this place. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me. Do you got some Jesus inside of you? Do you got some Jesus inside of you? Amen. If you got the power of God inside you, you got the power to cast out demons. You got the power to speak healing to someone's life. Amen. You don't have to come to pastor. You don't have to come to the elders if you're at home. You just look in the mirror, point at yourself, say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Speak to your situation. Situation, finances, home, marriage. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be changed. Hallelujah. There's something when we say the name of Jesus. There's a power that is released inside of us when we speak that name. Hallelujah. I just wonder for a little bit. We all got some things going on. I feel like God is getting ready to do something in this place today. He is going to release some things in our hearts. There's going to be a new season that comes forth inside of us. But we got to release it in the name of Jesus. I just wonder if we would just lift our hands right now. Just speak to him and say, in the name of Jesus.